Over adversity, we're going to be out of this today. Praise God for that. I'm looking forward to getting out of adversity. Amen. And by the way, as they say, you're either in the middle of adversity, going into it, or coming out of adversity. One of the three. But we're always going to be in some type of an adverse situation, some way, shape, fashion, or form. We were born into it, born for it. And I'm so glad we don't have to live and stay in it. Amen. Wouldn't life be terrible if we just had adversity every day, all the time? That would just be travesty. Amen. So I'm glad that we don't have to stay in adversity all the time. Amen. Nobody needs a book, right? All right. We're in 1 Peter 4, and the memory verse was 16, but we're going to start from 12 and read all the way down just for sake of review. Because we've covered those, then we'll look at some things in verses 15 and 16. So 1 Peter and chapter 4, and let's go ahead and read together verses 12, 13, 14, 15, and 16. Here we go. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. Their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Father, thank you for the time that we've had on this lesson of adversity. God, you're just reviewing and reminding us that we are going to have adversity. But Lord, we don't want it to be a self-directed adversity. If there's going to be adversity, Lord, may it be Savior-directed adversity. Help us, Lord, when we're weak, and encourage us, Lord, to do that which is pleasing in your sight. Again, we ask your blessings upon this class, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. And amen. All right, several things here down through this verse. Verse number 12, Peter is encouraging the brethren here to not think it strange when it happens. Do we think it strange when adversity comes? Yes, we do. We do. Yeah, sometimes. Amen. Now, I don't know about you, but I know adversity is going to come, but I still don't put out the doormat and welcome it. Now, maybe y'all do, but I don't. I know it's coming, but I don't put out the doormat saying you're always welcome at my house. As a matter of fact, it says keep out, no soliciting here. Amen. So I don't like adversity, but I understand it. It's got to come. I understand that. And I'm sure you understand it's got to come as well. And so Peter in verse 12 says, don't think it's strange when it comes. He says, on the contrary, though, rejoice. How many of y'all rejoiced last time adversity came? Ha, 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 ha. No, I don't think so. Now, we don't have to laugh about it. But rejoicing means just having a good, positive attitude that God's in control. That's really all it means. It doesn't mean that I got to have a clown face on and with a red nose, you know, with honor, honker, heart. Yeah, I don't have to do all that. The rejoicing just means to have the attitude that, you know, God's in control. God's got this situation down. This didn't catch God by surprise. He understands where I'm at. And so I can rejoice, even though I don't like it. He says, rejoice in as much as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad, but also with exceeding joy. So he says, you know what? It's not going to always be this bad. And one day it's going to be all over and you're going to be in glory. Amen. Then he says, now in verse 14, if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. In other words, if it's Savior directed, if you're doing what God wants you to do and people get on you, that's okay. He said, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. Saying, they're doing evil, but guess what? On your part, God's going to be honored and glorified because you didn't stoop to their level of evil. You are still doing that which is right. And so God is going to bless you for what you did in your stand. Then he says in verse 15, but let none of you suffer as a murderer. Don't have self-directed adversity. a murderer, thief, evildoer, busybody, other men's matters. By the way, let's look at some of the definitions here. The word suffer there means to have a vexing or a passionate or a painful experience. How many of y'all had one of those lately? Amen. How many of you ever had one before? Amen. They're not fun. So suffer, he says down there, but let none of you suffer. It means to have a vexful or a passionate or a painful experience. And those are not fun. But he says, but let none of you suffer as a murderer. Murder is exactly what it means. It's homicide, the unlawful taking of someone's life. By the way, does it have to be a murder of somebody's life? No. It could be the murder of somebody's reputation. Could be the murder of someone's character. I could defame someone's character and lie on them. And I've murdered their testimony to others. In the relationship between men and women, I could murder someone's purity. And now they're no longer pure. So it's not just the physical homicide. There are other ways that we can commit murder. A thief, that's exactly what we would think. Stealer, someone is taking something unlawfully, that which is not theirs. It could be an embezzler. And so a thief, he said, don't suffer like that. An evildoer, the word actually means a malefactor, a criminal, a bad doer. Someone that's not doing good, they're doing bad, an evildoer. Or as a busybody. Anybody want to take a guess what's a busybody, Rose? Gossip is a part of it, yes. Not minding your own business, yes, Beth. Meddler, that's basically it. Instead of minding your own matters and your own affairs, you're meddling in someone else's affairs. So your business and your matters are here. You take your nose and you stick your nose in somebody else's business where it doesn't belong. That's a busybody, you know. Now, why would that be considered a busybody? Hey, amen. You're busy worrying about somebody else's business when you got your own business that you need to be worried about. Amen. By the way, if you're worried about somebody else's business, can you be worried about your business? No, your business is going to suffer. And so Peter says, you know, don't suffer as a murderer, as a thief, or as a busybody. Does Peter have experience in that word called busybody? Yes. What is one of the most famous statements that Peter made that would be considered being a busybody? Remember towards the end when Jesus said, feed my lambs. And what did Peter say towards the end when finally it was all said and done? And he said, you know, okay, I love you. What did Peter say afterwards? Feed my sheep. Huh? Feed my sheep. But no, after that conversation was done, Peter did something else. He looked over and he said, and what should this man do? And Jesus said, what is that to thee? He said, if I'd have him tarry until I come back, what's that to you? He said, you follow me. What was he demonstrating? He was being a busybody. He stuck his nose over here. Jesus said, here, feed the lambs, feed the sheep. And he said, well, what's he going to do? Can I have his job instead? That's a busybody. Okay. And so Peter has first experience in this. He says, you don't want to be these things, murder, thief, evildoer, or busybody in other men's matters. He said, don't be that. Yet, he says in verse 16, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. He says, now going back to verse 14, if you're suffering that way, like verse 14, that's okay, glorify God. And then he says this in verse 17, for the time has come that judgment must begin where? At the house of God. He said Christians need to have their lives in order first. At the house of God, and if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? He said, now, if God is going to deal with us, what's going to happen to those guys that aren't saved? Notice what he goes on to say. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Now, again, he's speaking about them making sure that they're not having self-directed adversity because there is a wicked world out there that they needed to reach. And he said, now look, they're going to have it bad. And so you make sure that you're right because you need to go out there and reach them. Now, were they surrounded by wickedness? Yes, they were. Were they being persecuted unfairly? Yes, they were. And it was so easy for them to get revenge. So easy. How many of y'all saw that movie, The War Room? And at the end, when one of the guys that wanted to have the guy fired broke down on the side of the road, and he went up there with the tire iron, and the guy thought he was going to come and take revenge on him, but instead he changed the tire for him. The average person is going to either pass him by or want to get revenge in some way, shape, fashion, or form. You know, this guy didn't do that. Demonstrating to us, if people wrong us, if people persecute us, then we still need to treat them the way God would have us to treat them. Is that easy? No. Everything in you wants to say, I'll just jump straddle your neck. Everything in you wants to kick him in the pants. Everything in you wants to say, I'll do evil for evil. But then the Spirit of God comes and says, but you know, that's not right. So you need to evict that thought and do what's right. And so he says down in verse 19, wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. So he says, you make sure you keep yourself in the will of God. You keep doing well, knowing that God is faithful. God is going to reward you. You may not see it here. You may not see it right now, but guess what? You will see it. Is God faithful to reward? Always is. He always is. So you never know how you may see it. So a busybody, other men's matters, others' affairs. Amen. He said, you don't want to do that. So let's go and fill in all the answers here. We're going to talk a little bit more about the book, and then we'll be done with this chapter of the book. Amen. So going back to the beginning of this number three, Roman numeral three is the caution to the Christian. The caution to the Christian. All right, that's your blank caution. And then A, avoid self-imposed suffering. Self-imposed suffering. And then B, honor Christ when suffering for his sake. Honor Christ when suffering for his sake. Then number one, don't be ashamed of Christ. Don't be ashamed of Christ. Everybody got that? Two, glorify God on behalf of Christ. Glorify God on behalf of Christ. And that should be all your blanks. Did anybody miss a blank? Everybody's got all the blanks filled in? All right. So let's go and talk about this a little bit. Amen. The caution to the Christian. Let me read what the book says here, because I think this is good. I think I read this last week, but just want to read it again. The passage... Peter's warning and cautioning of the Christian regarding adversity. He says, remember that the people he was writing to were suffering under tyrannical, oppressive government. They faced the temptation to get revenge and to get even with those who were causing their afflictions. Is it natural to want to get even to people that cause your affliction? It's a natural fleshly reaction. What has to happen in the mind and the heart of a believer for that not to occur? Rose? Allow the Holy Spirit to have control. And what is the Holy Spirit going to do with that control? He's going to direct it towards what? Doing something nice for them. What is the Holy Spirit going to use in your mind to tell you what you ought to do? Tamara? His word. He's going to use words. So the more of the word of God that I have hidden in my heart, what would the psalmist say? Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not what? Sin against God. So I've got to put the word in first. It's got to be hidden there. Then the Holy Spirit comes and says, okay, they did you wrong, but don't do them evil. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. It is written, vengeance is mine. I'll repay, saith the Lord. So if it be possible, he says, you know, dwell with everybody peacefully if you can. Amen. And so the Spirit's going to deal that way. He says, when we're facing trials, it's easy for us to rationalize our behaviors that are contrary to the word of God. Well, Lord, they did it to me and they hurt me real bad. And so I should be able to get them back. Can we rationalize that? Yeah, we can. You can rationalize just about anything. Does that make it right? No. Does it make us feel good temporarily until what happens? until the Holy Spirit convicts us that we shouldn't do that. Have you ever been in a grocery store or something like that and somebody didn't treat you right and you gave them a piece of your mind? And then after you left the grocery store, you kind of felt bad about giving them a piece of your mind. And you're thinking, man, what if they come to church next week? What if I see that's my brother's friend or something like that, and they come to the house. And then you're all cheap faith, ding dong, and they open the door. You gave me a piece of your mind yesterday. How I love Jesus. So you're going to feel cheap. What are you going to say to him? I was in the flesh. I mean, I'm sorry. So the Holy Spirit is actually trying to save us from heartaches and headaches. Because you never know where you may see these people. I mean, the people in the grocery stores and at the supermarkets and things like that. I mean, you could get a new doctor and you go to the grocery store and somebody bumped into you. You give them a piece of your mind and you go to the doctor and that was your doctor. Hey, hi, doc. Yeah, how you doing, Miss Bumper Into? And what do you? So it always behooves us to listen to the Spirit of God and to be kind and to treat everybody equally as kind. Why? You don't know who they are. It'd be a tragedy if they came into this church and saw you and then turned around and walked back out. I refuse to go to the same church with that person. Hey, I've heard it happen. I wish I would go to that church with so-and-so. If that's the kind of church they go to, that ain't a church for me, because obviously they're not teaching the right things. So it behooves us not to do that. Peter is trying to encourage them. He said, look, don't think it's strange when this happens to you. You need to rejoice about this. If they get on you for Christ's sake, he said, happy are ye. He said, but don't you suffer for doing wrong in verse 15. He said, but if you suffer for right in verse 16, you're okay. He said, I'm telling you this in verse 17, because judgment needs to start with us as God's people, because they're the ones out there that need to be reached. Goes on to say this. Peter's caution to them and to us was to do right no matter what kind of circumstances we face. Is that a tough pill to swallow? No matter what circumstances we face, what would be some tough circumstances to be kind in? Some adverse circumstances that you would say it would be hard to be kind in this circumstance.
Somebody yelling at you for no reason.
Amen. Rose? Oh, wow.
Yeah, they get pretty rude at the restaurant. It's too cold here. I don't even have kids. It's too dark. What do you think I am, And if I'm sorry, or I don't want to sit there, it's too far to walk to the other side of the restaurant. Sorry, it's a rotation basis. I have to offer. You can refuse it. You can sit anywhere in the restaurant you love. Fine. So sometimes they tell me, yeah, I'm not a dog. What do you
think? Amen. No, I didn't think about that, but that's true. Hey, you like this seat? No, I don't like that one. Okay, I got this one. You like that? No, I don't like that one. Yeah. Oh, here's the door. There's a seat outside. You can just go sit out there. Amen. you can't do that. What other situations are hard? Yes. When somebody's mean to your children, you mean, or treats them wrong. Amen.
The hardest part to try to be kind, showing them.
It is. I mean, I had a teacher, not me, my sister had a teacher, and she treated one of my others, the teacher treated my sister wrong. My mother went down to the school and chewed that teacher out. Now, the teacher didn't know that my sister had an issue, and that issue kind of flared up. And she treated my sister very ill accordingly. And mom went down and gave her a piece of her mind. Amen. And I didn't want to be around when she did either. But, when somebody treats your kids bad, that is a situation. What are some adverse situations you say it's tough in this type of situation to be kind to someone else? And we have to, yes.
Sometimes it's really hard in families.
In families? Amen.
And we're used to being around our family, and even, the closest family you live with on a day-to-day basis, you
can say things that are not kind, but you wouldn't say that to a total stranger.
Amen.
But you will be mean and ugly to your family just because you think you can get away with it.
Amen. They can't disown me. We're family.
Exactly. You know, it's like, what are they going to do? Leave me? But yeah, but it's true. The people that we're the closest to, we can be the most unkind to.
Amen.
And a total stranger, you're going to go out of your way to be nice and kind to them and polite just because you want to look good.
Mm.
But we don't act that way around our families.
Amen. Now, why are we that way? Of course, we know they can't disown us, but why are we so mean to our own families oftentimes? Jesse?
I think someone's closer to you. You know what buttons to push. You know how far you can go with them before you've gone too far.
Amen. And I think that's a lot of, we know them. We know them inside and out oftentimes. We know what makes them tick. And we know this will get on their nerves. We had Joshua and Faith. They were in a scuttle yesterday about an issue, and Faith got the controls. And so she knew Joshua was where the controls were at. And so he was laying on the apparatus that the controls controlled. So she's down by pushing the controls. And here's Joshua. Hey, what's going on? She knew the button to push. She said, this will aggravate him. And the controls dropped down. She said, hey, those almost hit my toe. Josh was like, so what? Whatever. She's like, okay, I'll get you. And Josh was like, hey, you can't do that to me. And sometimes we know what buttons to push. And then she did everything but folded them up. No, she didn't do that bad. She was kind to him. But family can be tough. They can be tough, you know, whether they're sisters or brothers. It's tough. So, you know, when we're going through these things, you know, Peter said, look, I want you to know something, that you have some unsaved people out here that are really treating you wrong. And you've got to really make sure that you're right, because that's what God wants us to do. By the way, Peter, one of the most outspoken of the apostles, we're going to be looking at him this morning in the message, had his foot in his mouth many, many times. And so he understands what this is all about. So one of the things we're going to do is says, A, avoid self-imposed suffering, and B, honor Christ when suffering for his sake. One of the things that the lesson says here, Peter brought suffering into his own life because he denied the Lord. What happened to Peter when he denied the Lord? What suffering did he have to go through? He had some adversity he had to go through. What did he have to go through when he denied the Lord? Because he did. So he knows what this is like. What did you go through?
The rejection that came when he knew what Christ told him, that you're going to deny me three times. And he did. And then the cop crew, and he was like, wow. That had to have been the worst feeling ever, to know. It's that knowing. Did it wrong, and you were told ahead of time you were going to do it wrong, and you still did it wrong.
And you did it. Now think about it. Now there's several factors here. He did wrong, but now he's got to face the Lord, which he did. And it said he went out and wept bitterly. Can he really go to the other disciples and weep around them? Yeah. What are they going to think about him? They're going to think, well, you dog. You denied our Lord. Get away from us. We ain't having that. So now he's got to deal with them. He can't really go to the unsaved world. Where's he going to go? That's got to be the worst predicament to have yourself in. You've denied your Lord, so you feel like he's rejected you. You can't go back to the ones that you've been with for the 3.5 years. He was still married. I guess he could have went back to his wife. Amen. So who do you go to? And then, to top it all off, he says the famous statement, I go a fishing. And he says, I'm going to go back to my former life. And then he took a bunch of disciples with him. And then Jesus is on the shore. So that's got to be almost the worst feeling, that you, total abandonment of where you were for the last 3.5 years. And you've rejected and denied the one who has been with you and taught you, the one who loves you the most. That's a sad situation to be in. Talk about adversity. So Peter writing knows what it's like to go through adversity. He knows what it feels like to be rejected and to be hurt. He knows how it feels to have those closest to you and you turn on them. He knows that, how you try to save face by denying the Lord. And so when he says this, Notice down there in verse number 14. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. Now, wait a minute. This is the same man that said, aren't you one of his disciples? I don't know the man. I don't know who you're talking about. But you speak like him. I know not the man. They began to curse and swear. This is the same man that said, if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. Was he reproached for the name of Christ? Yes, he was. The spirit of glory and of God rested upon you. On their part, he's even spoken up, and on your part, he's glorified. Then he reminds us in verse 16, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. Was Peter ashamed? Yeah, he was. He was ashamed. Now, there's dual things here, and we'll talk about this as well when we talk about Peter. Not only is he ashamed, what else is he? It was more than just being ashamed of Christ. It was deeper than that. When he denied the Lord, what was going on? When he rejected him, yes, he did reject him. But what was going on? It was more than him just being ashamed. What else went along with his rejection or his denial of the Lord? Tamara? That's true, but his motives. Why did he deny the Lord? Yes, ma'am?
He was afraid.
He was afraid. He was afraid to be associated. Why was he afraid? Exactly.
By associating himself with Christ.
His own safety, his own security, and his own life. So it's more than that. Just being ashamed. He was afraid. If I say I know him, they might put me up there on trial. I may have to die. I may have to give up my life. I mean, they already saw the other guy. They pull out of the crowd carrying Jesus' cross. What might they do to me? And so he's back in the corner. You're one of, no, you no. So it's more than that. Sometimes adversity, we're going to have to stand up for Jesus, and we're going to be afraid. And we're going to be afraid. And we're going to still have to stand up. If not, we'll be just like Peter. And we'll feel bad about rejecting our Lord and denying our Lord. And there are going to be certain situations and circumstances where it's not going to be pleasant. Our lives may not be at stake, but there could be some other repercussions that are very fearful. So he says, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come, the judgment must begin at the house of God. I'm sure he's speaking about himself. He said, look, it's got to begin with me. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel, those on the outside? And the righteous scarcely be saved. Where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him and well-doing as unto a faithful creator. He says, so that you can be a witness, then you've got to commit your life to him. And then when you have these adverse situations happening, it's not going to be as bad. It says here, if we're honest, we would have to admit that sometimes we bring suffering on ourselves. Not all adversity, not every fiery trial is sent from God to make us stronger. Sometimes we suffer as a consequence of something we have done or something we have failed to do. If we go to work and lose our temper and curse our boss, any suffering we endure will be self-inflicted. And that is not suffering for our faith. It's suffering for our mouth. Peter had a dual situation going on here. He could have suffered for his faith, but instead he denied Christ and he suffered for his foolishness. He could have really went out there and said, you know what, I'm going to be strong. What was he lacking that you and I have? Well, faith, okay. But he was lacking something else that at that particular time that they didn't have that they got later in Acts chapter 2. Man.
Confidence,
and that confidence came by something that they got in Acts chapter 2. Holy Spirit. He did not have the filling of the Holy Spirit like you and I have. So we actually have more ability, if you would, to go through the adversity because the Holy Spirit's in us, fueling off the word of God. And so Peter brought this suffering on himself when he denied the Lord. And Peter gives us a contrast between suffering for righteousness and suffering for sin. He made these mistakes and he had to change his behavior in order to do the wrong thing. And so he should always be ready to give an answer. So honor Christ when suffering for his sake. Avoid self-imposed suffering. Number one, let's just talk about that just a little bit. Amen. By the way, there is no shame or disgrace in adversity caused by our faithful witness and obedience to the word of God. Is there ever a time to be shameful when we suffer for doing right by God? There should never be a time when if we do right, we're ashamed of doing right. There should never be a time that we're ashamed of giving out the gospel or telling somebody about Jesus Christ. Never. Because it's right to do. So we can honor Christ when suffering for his sake because there is no shame or disgrace in adversity caused by our faithful witness and obedience to the word of God. If they're going to throw you in jail for talking about Jesus Christ, happy are ye. You know, if they're going to fire you at your job because you talked about Jesus Christ, happy are ye, unless they told you not to do it. Amen. And there was a law against it. Amen. There's break time. There's lunchtime where you can talk about him before work. There's after work. But if they're going to fire you because you have a Bible, guess what? If it's not against the rules and regulations, happy are ye. Why? Because I'm doing that which God wants me to do. Don't be ashamed of Christ was number one. Peter was once ashamed of Christ and he denied Jesus three times. He failed badly, but later he became a leader after the Holy Spirit came upon him, and he was willing up to stand up. Remember in Acts chapter 2, how when they got the filling of the Holy Ghost on Pentecost, and who stood up boldly? Peter. Who preached boldly? Peter. Thousands of souls got saved. So he did a complete turnaround. He failed over here when he suffered for his foolishness, but then he came back over in the New Testament full of the Spirit of God, and he preached boldly. Was there a chance for him to get persecuted at that time as well? Yes, it was. The Jews could have stoned him to death, but he had the power of the Holy Spirit. And it made the difference. And so we can stand for Jesus Christ, and we can stand full of the Spirit of God, and just like Peter did. Turn over to Acts chapter 5, verse 41. And notice what his reply was after the filling of the Spirit. Acts chapter 5. And somebody read Acts 5:41. Who's got that? What is that? Rose, go ahead. Amen. They were worthy, he said, to get beat up and praising God that they got beat up. He said, man, we praise God. Now, is that a far cry from what he did when they said, aren't you with one of Jesus' disciples? It's a far cry from that. Why, he's standing for God now, and so now the power of God is on him. And so he's able to make the statement that he couldn't make before. Notice down there, verse number 28. Somebody read 28 and 29 for me. Who's got that? 5, 28 and 29. Go ahead, Beth.
You're still
yes, ma'am. Amen. Far cry from him being over there warming his hands in the fire. And they say, hey, didn't we tell you not to do that? He said, hey, I'm going to do what I got to do. Now, you just take your best shot, but I'm going to do what I got to do. Amen. And so he said, hey, I got to say what I got to say. I got to do what I got to do. And he said, I'd rather obey God than man. Amen. So I'm not going to do what you want me to do. Amen. Come down to verse number 33. When they heard that, they were what? Cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. They heard that. He was about to have it happen again. Now my life's in danger. But guess what? The Holy Spirit stepped in and said, you really don't want to do that. They used Gamaliel to talk some sense to him. But was Peter just as much in danger here as he was when he denied Jesus Christ? Just as much. Just as much. What made the difference? The filling of the Holy Spirit. The filling of the Spirit of God. What am I saying here? When you and I are going through adversity, we have got to have God's filling of his Spirit. Because the adverse situations, we don't know how to handle good on our own. We have got to have God's power and God's Spirit and God's Word to handle adversity. Because we don't know what to say. And by the way, sometimes we should say something, but we don't have the power to do it. The Spirit of God will give us the power. Just like he gave Peter the power here, the power that he didn't have when he denied the Lord Jesus Christ. And so go back to Acts chapter number 2. Acts chapter number 2. And notice down there in verse 14. Because they began to talk about the Jews that were filled with the Spirit of God speaking in tongues. Notice what Peter says. But Peter, standing up, verse 14, with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. And he begins to preach to them, going down through that passage. And then when you come over to verse number 37, notice what happens. Now, when they heard this, they were what again? Pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? What's the difference again? The filling of the Spirit of God. Was he faced with just as much possibility for adversity and persecution? Yes, he was. What made the difference? The filling of the Spirit of God. What am I saying? You and I are going to have some adversity come into our lives. The only way that we will be able to handle adversity properly is being filled with God's Spirit, saying, God, I need you to work through me. God, I need you to help me to speak what I need to speak. I need you to help me to say what I need to say. God, I need you to help me to be what I need to be. This is a situation that I do not know how to handle. And by the way, the easiest way to handle adversity is to walk in the Spirit. Okay? What you don't want to do is this. You get up to the cash register and the person tells you off and you're in the flesh. And if you're in the flesh, what are you going to tell them? Your mind. You're going to tell them off. But if I'm walking in the Spirit, I'm saying, Lord, you know what? I'm around all these people. You know, the cash register attendant, she may tell me off today. I'm going to be so sweet to her. I'm going to be so sweet to him. I'm going to be kind to him. Before you even get up there. I'm walking in the Spirit. Is it bound to happen sooner or later? Yes. So I'm walking in the Spirit already, knowing that people are all around me, and any person can set you off. They can run your foot over with a cart. They can take your spot when you're supposed to be next in line. And if you're not walking in the Spirit, guess what? Hey, it's my spot. You call them all kind of names. You don't want to do that. I mean, what's a spot? And then that's your doctor. And there you go. Amen. So the best way to handle adversity is to continue walking in the Spirit. And if I'm always walking in the Spirit, and when I'm not walking in the Spirit, Lord, give me the Spirit. And the one thing we've got to be mindful of, I've got to be walking in the Spirit around people, because people can set you off. They can. Sometimes they don't even mean to. And they can set you off. But then adverse situations can set you off. And according to 1 and 2, don't be ashamed of Christ, but then glorify God on behalf of Christ. Now, do they give you guys Matthew 5, 16 in your books? Yeah, let's go over to Matthew chapter 5 as we get ready to close here. Because people are going to be all around us, and we've got to make sure that with these people being around us, we're walking in the Spirit. Because people can set you off. By the way, we're getting ready to go and have snack time. What if there's no snack left? You're going to be all mad at Miss Katie. I tithe in this church. I want a snack. Where's the coffee? I tithe. Where's the coffee? And you go off. Now, if you walk in the Spirit, you won't say that. Notice what he says in verse number 14. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it on a bushel, but on a candlestick, and they give it light unto all that are in the house. By the way, if we are the light of the world and we go through the line and somebody treats us wrong and we come back with kindness, what are the people watching likely going to say or think? What are they likely going to say or think? If that person went off on you and you were so kind back to them. Something different about them. Man, I wouldn't have did that if I was them. Wow, look at how they handled that situation. I would have gave them a piece of my mind, but they were kind back to them. There must be something about them. But if you go off, what are they going to think? Just like me. I would have given a piece of my mind too. I wouldn't have stood for that. Wouldn't have sat down for it either. I would have given a piece of my mind. But when we do treat people that way, people notice our light and they say there's something different about that person. And then what if they come into this church and what if they see you? They'll say, ah, I knew it. They were a Christian. I knew there was something different about them. They go to church. I knew there was something different about them. Notice what he goes on to say in verse 16, let your light so shine before men, they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. And so the one thing that you and I want to make sure that we are doing is letting our light shine so that we can glorify God on behalf of Christ. We are not going to be ashamed of Christ. We want to honor Christ when we're suffering for his sake. We want to avoid self-imposed suffering and make sure that we heed the caution to the Christian, because if I'm not walking in the Spirit, I will fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's a guarantee. And so people are going to be all around you. We've got to make sure. The ending of this says, Peter was calling the believers in his day to stand firm for what was right. And the Bible is calling us to publicly proclaim that the Lord Jesus is the Lord of our lives. Even if it causes us suffering and adversity, we will never go through a trial alone if it is for the cause of Christ. Stand firmly and unashamedly and claim his victory over adversity in life. Are we going to face adversity? Yes. Can we glorify God when we go through adversity? Yes. Can we even glorify God through adversity that's self-imposed? Yes, we can. And so you're going to have some adversity come. Remember how Jesus handled it. Remember the encouragement that Peter gave us. And if any apostle faced adversity that was Savior-directed or self-directed, it was Peter. It was Peter. All right, our memory verse for next chapter is going to be 1 John 5:4, victory over the world. 1 John 5:4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. 1 John 5:4, victory over the world. And by the way, there is victory over the world. We can win that battle. 1 John 5:4, the verse for memorization, and victory over the world. Father, thank you again for the adversity that we find ourselves in at times. Lord, oftentimes it's self-directed. We have brought it upon ourselves. But thank you that you have given us the filling of the Spirit of God. We can overcome adversity through the power of God, through the Word of God, and our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord, when we go through Savior-directed adversity, help us as well, just the same, to glorify you. And Lord, to help us to overcome both Savior and self-directed adversity. Sometimes it's to correct us and to chasten us. Other times it's to strengthen us and to test us. Whatever the case may be, Lord, help us to glorify you on behalf of the adversity that we face, that you, through all things, would be honored, uplifted, and glorified. Let people truly see our good works, so they can glorify you, which is in heaven. Thank you for loving us. Lord, bless the refreshment time now, that you may get praise from that time as well. In Jesus' name, amen.